My guest today is filmmaker Katie Cleary, and in her latest groundbreaking documentary, Why on Earth, she joins forces with iconic actor and director Clint Eastwood, along with actress Maggie Q and others, to explore the vital connection between humans, animals, and our planet. Now, through rarely before seen footage, Why on Earth sheds light on the devastating effects of deforestation on endangered species. And the collaboration with Clint Eastwood is a testament to Katie's dedication to raising awareness through the power of documentary filmmaking. Now, Katie is the founder of the nonprofit Peace for Animals, an animal welfare organization that has been at the forefront of the fight for animal rights since its inception in 2012. And through this organization, she has raised substantial funds for various animal-related causes. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome documentary filmmaker Katie Cleary and her very powerful film, Why on Earth, to the show. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, what inspired you to make this film, Why on Earth?
You know, it was an epiphany. Along with my charity, Peace for Animals and World Animal News, back in 2012, I just thought, you know, I feel like I'm not doing enough in entertainment. I need to do more directed towards my passion to save endangered species and raise awareness for animals around the world. So it's really started with my first documentary, Give Me Shelter, in 2015. I was getting residuals from a commercial that I shot, and the residuals were coming in for 7 years, and I thought, you know, what can I do with these residuals that would really make a big impact? So I started producing Give Me Shelter and sold it to Netflix in 2015. And then this is the sequel to Give Me Shelter called Why on Earth. And the budget is much higher in this one. We were able to travel throughout Africa, Indonesia, Mexico, the United States, and show firsthand on the ground the people that are saving these animals from extinction, including, you know, elephants, rhinos, lions, you know, you name it. Many of the big five that are threatened because of the illegal wildlife trade. And then, you know, take it to a legislative level and show how do you pass bills on a federal and state level to protect these animals in the wild.
You know, this is one of the best wildlife documentaries that I've ever seen. You had information in this documentary that is a very big eye opener. And I pray that everyone watching and listening will watch this documentary because they're going to learn things that they may not actually know. And I was actually surprised about. So back in 1998, the palm oil industry had a boom. And they're creating this very cheap ingredient that is found in thousands of products worldwide, but it comes at the expense of destroying the forest and the habitats of animals like the orangutan population. For you, what was the most shocking thing that you learned about the diminishing orangutan population, as well as how mankind has been treating these beautiful creatures?
Well, really, it started with a trip to Costa Rica, and I saw the decimation of the rainforest there. All of central Costa Rica was completely destroyed because of palm oil. And I thought, where in the world is this also happening where there's critically endangered species? And I find out Borneo, Sumatra, Java in Indonesia. And so we decided to travel there and document firsthand what was happening with the destruction of primary rainforest. And that's leading to the destruction of endangered orangutans because there's no genetic diversity in the species anymore. They're just stuck in these little pockets of rainforest and they can't get over to other primary rainforest to breed and spread the population. So, you know, they're facing extinction at this point if we don't work very hard to save these rainforests and their habitat.
Yeah, you know, I learned in your film that even the male orangutans can travel 100 miles and then eventually make their way back. But because the forests are being destroyed, there's nothing to come back to.
Exactly. They have nowhere to go, nothing to eat. And they're being stuck in these palm oil plantations. And as you saw in the documentary, we rescued a pregnant orangutan that was actually shot in the side with a 22 bullet. And she was, you know, we were able to catch her in the net and transfer her to primary rainforest where she could thrive. But she was stuck in a palm oil plantation and they're considered pests in Indonesia. So they either get shot or they're killed or their babies are taken from them and sold on the black market. So that also fuels the wildlife trade around the world. And then, you know, many of those species are sold to the east, sadly.
Well, how are conservationists communicating with governments about the palm oil industry's destruction of these jungles and rainforest?
You know what? I think it's about legislation, and the one thing that you can do is lobby. And I think that that's goes for every government in every country worldwide. So if we can lobby and raise enough awareness and noise, these legislators will listen. As you saw in the documentary, that's really how you get bills passed. If you make enough noise, the right way, of course, and get people that have a voice, people in the entertainment business, you know, people that are, you know. Love wildlife, love animals, to be on board, to be able to save them. So,
well, can we have legislation here that has a global effect?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And that's why we filmed in Africa and all these other countries. And then really, you know, we're talking about the trophy hunting industry, trying to protect the animals, you know, from not being imported here for trophies. That was another bill that we worked on. It didn't go through. I think you saw in the film, unfortunately, it got vetoed by Governor Brown. So, you know, it does affect people in the United States. It affects all of us worldwide. What happens in Africa and all these other countries does have an effect in the United States.
Yeah, I don't see the point in trophy hunting, you know, especially on the exotic end of things, because mm-hmm. it's basically a free shot. They're basically just bringing them out for the wealthy just to put a trophy on their wall. And I kind of agree with Clint Eastwood. I would rather shoot him with a camera than with a gun. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, exactly. When he said that, I said, that's going in the documentary. No, he's a huge animal lover, and that's why we had him a part of the film. And also his daughter was in my first documentary. And so I asked her, I said, would you think your dad would want to be in the second one? She said, yeah, let me ask him. So we went up there to film with him in Northern California at his ranch. And he had just rescued, I think, about 65 horses that were going to be slaughtered for horse meat, for the horse meat trade to be sold globally. So he rescued them, and now he's building a big ranch for them to house them, which is incredible. So he's rescued animals his whole life, so it was great to have him to be a part of the film.
Oh, absolutely, and really adds clout to the film. I mean, when Clint talks, people listen, so it works out great for this message. But there was something else that I was very surprised to hear, that there is now less than 10% of sharks remaining in the ocean. And this kind of goes back again to the question I had before. What are foreign governments like South Africa and Japan, are they doing anything to stop the harvesting of these fins for just a bowl of soup?
Well, you know, there are bills that are, unfortunately, I think what it is that it's just such a corrupt industry, and there's so much money in the shark fin industry, sadly. So what happens is they're harvesting these sharks just to chop off their fin. They're throwing the bodies back in the ocean to sink and suffocate to death, which is just the most horrific death you could possibly imagine. And then, of course, the fins are then sold for shark fin soup to the east. So I think it starts with, well, you know, it's hard. I think all governments have some element of corruption. So again, if you make enough noise and you get the right people behind it, I think that you can really create positive change to where we can ban this worldwide. But there has to be enough people behind it. And so that's why we need more voices. We need more help. We need more people to sign petitions. We need more people to lobby on behalf of these animals, because nothing will get done if we cannot be their voice.
That's exactly right. Now, in this film, there was a moment that really brought a smile to my face. And this moment was when the shark lightly bumps its nose on the mask of a scuba diver. And it actually brought a smile to my face, because then I looked at the shark as he was so puppy like, so innocent. So how does one tell the difference between, let's say, fiction of the movie Jaws and the true reality of sharks being a major part of our ecosystem?
Well, you know, sharks are a critical part of our ecosystem. Once sharks are gone, we are the last to go. So without sharks, our oceans can't survive. They are the apex predators and put in the oceans for a reason by God, to not only protect the oceans, but also, you know, eat species that are sick and diseased. And so it helps to clean the oceans, and people don't realize how critical sharks are to the health of our planet. So without sharks, it's just a matter of time before, you know, we're no longer here. So we're the last to go, and we're going to be the ones who are going to be suffering the most if we don't protect these species for future generations. So, you know, sharks kill, I think, less than 10 people a year worldwide. We kill 100 million, you know, for soup, for their fins.
Yeah, and soup and their hides, and in some cases, even for their meat.
The mercury content in shark meat, it's a killer. Also, what's happening in Japan with the whaling industry, you know, Japan, Iceland, they're still whaling. Horrific. These animals, you know, they're killing their people based on the amount of mercury content in those whales and dolphins.
And that's true, because I know that, and ladies and gentlemen, you may not know this, but when mercury enters the human body, it has a half-life of 40 years, which means for you to be mercury-free is pretty much not going to happen. But with animals like sharks and whales, because of their high meat content, their high fat content, they are absorbing that mercury that's in the ocean, especially from industries that are polluting our waters. And, you know, Katie, one thing I learned from your documentary is that, you know, with sharks in particular, it's causing a big imbalance in the ecosystem in the ocean.
Oh, absolutely. And so that's why a lot of the species won't be able to survive without sharks. You know, they are the cleaners of the ocean. They are.
They are. And now you also had a segment on the plight of the African elephants. And to me, it was just heartbreaking. How do baby elephants adapt when they lose their mothers to poachers?
Well, that's the thing. That's where David Sheldrick steps in a lot of these amazing rescues in Africa. Without them, these animals wouldn't survive. So the ivory trade, sadly, is still thriving in Africa and other parts of the world. And it's decimating the African elephant species, and not just African elephants, but Asian elephants as well, and you know, Indian elephants, which is included in the Asian elephant population. So, you know, I just don't know if they could survive without these people that have dedicated their lives, like Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, you know, who started many years ago rescuing these babies. And they get calls, gosh, many times a day. I mean, it's tragic how many calls that they get for these babies that are left next to their dying mothers, that their faces have been cut off because of ivory that's going to be made into a trinket that looks like an elephant, which is heartbreaking. I mean, to put a tusk on someone's wall or a little, you know, trinket on someone's desk, you're going to kill a whole elephant population because of that, because of greed, because of money, because of ego. It doesn't make sense to me. We really have to look at what we're doing to the rest of the planet as a species, and we have to do better. We have to leave this planet better than the way we found it.
We do, and I was very surprised to learn in the film how elephants are treated for their meat versus those that are used for their ivory. That was shocking. I don't want to get into it because I want a lot of people to see this film for themselves and understand that we as humans, we're doing some pretty bad things. But at the same time, there's people like you who are doing a lot of good things to help save these animals. One of the things that I think that probably shocked me most is that I learned that poaching rhino horns is considered the third largest revenue generator for any criminal enterprise in the world. What went through your mind when you heard that?
Sickening. It makes me sick to my stomach. So these people are clearly not making enough in illegal drugs, illegal arms, sex trafficking, all these terrible, terrible industries worldwide. They have to now kill some of the most endangered species on the planet, and in the most horrific way, using machetes to chop off their face to take their horn. It makes me sick to be a human in this day and age, the fact that we can continue to do this. And you know, there's what, two female northern white rhinos left on the planet, and that's it at this point. Sudan, the male had passed away, as you saw in the documentary. We went to go visit the two last females, and we did this to their species because of rhino horn, sorry, that has no clear medicinal purpose.
Well, and that was the thing that angered me. Because, you know, the medicinal value of rhino horns is just a myth. There's nothing there that the human will ever benefit from. And now with black rhinos, there's barely, 4,000 of them left.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's a race against time. It's literally a race against extinction. I'm sorry, I've got a lot of animals.
That's okay. We're talking about animals, so it works.
But it is a race against extinction at this point. And if we could, if you just love animals just this much, I encourage you to post about it. Go to World Animal News, share our articles, raise awareness, tell your family and friends, visit these amazing countries, go on an ecotourism safari. You can really make a big difference. You really can.
I love that. And one of the things that I guess it really made me nervous was the round-the-clock guarding of the elephants and the rhinos against poaching is so difficult. I mean, are the governments themselves trying to help in any way, or is the criminal enterprise system so well-funded that it's hard to stay ahead of them?
Well, the thing is, it's very well-funded, but unfortunately, fortunately, there are, my dogs are having an argument.
That's okay. Right? It's good.
This is live, so this is how it goes.
It works. It's good.
And it's over a treat. It's over a... But anyways, there's wonderful people around the world that are working very hard to stop these criminal networks. And I think that we can win, because one thing that we have that they don't have is God behind us, and we have faith. And that's the reason why I'm doing, is because it was a mission given to me at a young age, 11 years old. I knew I was going to be saving, or at least trying to save and raise awareness for endangered species. Specifically, it started with big cats and then elephants and rhinos. And rhinos because of my friend Shannon Elizabeth. So I wasn't into rhinos in the beginning, and she goes, really take a look at what's happening to this species. They need you. They need your voice. And I did. And now I'm a big rhino lover as a result. So
You highlighted an all-female, guard troop. I don't know what you would call them, guarding. Was it the elephants or the rhinos? Why did you highlight them?
Well, a friend of mine is actually the founder of Akashinga, the all-female anti-poaching team in Zimbabwe, and we helped to spearhead their first campaign. So I thought, we need to go visit them in Zimbabwe. They are really changing their community. They're changing their own lives, their families' lives as a result, because they are oppressed, sadly, in Africa. And women need to rise up, because they are the glue that holds these families together. And if women can be the heroes of their community and respected and earn money, it changes the whole dynamic of the community. And so what Damien was able to do in Akashinga as a result of, their love for animals and saving elephants and rhinos in Zimbabwe is a game changer. And I think that that should be modeled in every country throughout Africa, Kenya, South Africa, Tanzania, Botswana. I think every country should look at that model and duplicate it in order to get the community involved. Because if you can't get the community involved, and specifically the women, because what he says is the women are less corruptible than the men. So that's why they use women to be the rangers.
Oh, okay. Rangers. That's the perfect word I was looking for. And I caught a glimpse in your film at the area where all the rhinos are being taken care of, like the babies. And you showed a sign, which I thought was a brilliant move. So for anyone that travels to Africa to go on safari, to look at these beautiful animals in person, don't tag your photos for social media, because poachers are watching.
You have to be very careful. My friends that have a rhino sanctuary in South Africa always say, be very careful. Do not have your location on. Make sure that you turn on airplane mode when you're there. And don't tag the surrounding area. Don't take a picture of the surrounding area. Just take a picture of the animal, just because you have to be very, very careful with social media, because these evil people are lurking everywhere. And but the good will always prevail. When you have God and Jesus on your side, nothing can stop you. Nothing can hurt you.
Well, I love one of the things that put a smile on my face. I saw Proverbs and I saw Job chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 in that documentary. And I said, yeah, we got some power here. And but I have to ask, and I was so happy when you really shine a light on the legislation. So bills like SB 376 and 1487, they're at the state level. Why isn't something being done at the federal level that kind of blankets all 50 states?
Well, we would love to do something on a federal level, but unfortunately, it's very hard to pass bills on a federal level in the United States. So we focus in California because they say so goes California, so goes the rest of the country. So if you pass a bill in California, it kind of forces people's hands and these companies' hands to be able to pass it in other states. And it's easier to copy over the bills. So you start with California, and then it's a trickle-down effect, and then it happens in every other state eventually, and other countries.
Yeah, that's true, because whatever happens, you know, I guess California is an example. If a bill is passed there, then that, because a lot of the products that come into California, a lot of them are coming in from foreign countries. So those manufacturers will have to align with the new laws that are passed in a state.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Cruelty-Free Cosmetics Act in the film. We passed that, bill, many years ago, but Estee Lauder, L'Oreal, all the big companies, we had to fight, and they hired the dirty lobbyists to go after us. But we had the animal welfare community. We had, people in entertainment that had a big platform that spoke out. And the people that were actually the spokespersons for these companies didn't even speak out for those companies, which is interesting. They spoke out for us to ban animal testing for cosmetics, and we passed. And so that forced Estee Lauder, L'Oreal, all these big, huge cosmetic companies' hands to, they have to formulate it for now every other state. They're not going to just formulate it and spend millions of dollars for California. So now, if you notice, now the Leaping Bunny is on all these products.
Well, yeah, because that's the great thing, because when you force a manufacturer to change, the only way that they're going to be able to look at their bottom line is they've got to change everything across the board, so all 50 states still end up benefiting from an improved product, and also no more animal testing, which I loved the fact that you showed and proved in your documentary that research shows animal testing proves nothing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There's no correlation between humans and animals. Their genetics is completely different than ours, and we can't assume that something that is going to be tested on a rabbit, like a mascara or, a rouge, is going to have the same effect on a human. So they're killing 500,000 animals per year for what? For vanity?
Yeah, vanity. Exactly. And yeah, Ed, that was an amazing piece in this documentary. So I applaud you for putting that in there and showing that we are doing something, at the legislative level. But you also covered, not only did you cover exotic animals, but you bring up the point even of a larger issue with pigs, cows, and even horses, which that really kind of shocked me. What do you say to those who just say, oh, it's a pig, it's just a cow or a horse? What do you say to those people?
Well, they're just as smart as your dog or cat, if not smarter. Pigs are smarter, actually, than dogs. And so we really have to look at not only what we're eating, but what we're doing to these species for a moment of satisfaction, for a burger when you can easily have, a veggie burger. And there's so many great alternatives now. But you also don't know the way they're being killed. And you're also then ingesting that negative energy of the last moments of that animal that was killed or abused before they were killed. So I always say, eat life, not death. And it's so easy now. You go to the grocery store and you just look in the plant-based section, and you've got alternatives for dairy, for milk, for meat, for anything. There's always a plant-based option. So, even if you just meatless Mondays and start that way, I think that's an easy solution just to begin with.
You showed an area in this film about Fair Oaks. Mm-hmm. I literally had a very difficult time watching that. I had to kind of turn my head a little bit because it angered me so much, and it hurt. And I felt for those animals. They've claimed to clean up their way of doing things. Have they?
No, they haven't, because my friends went back and they exposed animal abuse as of last year at Fair Oaks. So they have not cleaned up their act. And even with this pressure, even with it being in the documentary, it was on national news, the investigation that my friends did, Animal Rescue Mission in Florida. And it's hard to watch, it's hard to see this, but we have to expose it and we have to continue to put it out and make sure it's in the mainstream media so that people can be aware and not purchase these terrible products that are aiding to the suffering of hundreds of thousands of animals. When you can have almond milk, you can have oat milk, which is much better for you. Cow's milk is meant to raise a baby cow from the moment it was born to adulthood, and you don't want to know what's in it. You really don't. The amount of pus, I mean, I don't want to go into it, but it is pretty gross. And the babies are taken away at a very young age, and the mothers cry for months for their babies. It is a horrific industry, and it aids, actually, it fuels the veal industry as well.
Well,
So,
I was shocked when you brought that up. The veal industry has, I guess, in a way plummeted, but they're still taking these baby calves and now they're becoming dog food.
disgusting. It really is. Just for money, for profit, what else can we do? What else, like what other byproducts? That's what they think of. Okay, well, we're already killing this animal. Let's put them in dog food and we'll make more money. You can't take money with you when you pass from this life. But you can leave a lasting impact that will help the rest of the planet and the people that we share it with and all these beautiful species. So, I really challenge you to take a look at, what you're purchasing at the store. And not only that, how you're treating other people and other species and the planet around you. It really has a trickle-down effect, and one action has a reaction, has many reactions. So I think that we have to try harder, we have to try better, and we have to be nicer to each other and the planet.
We do. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a very powerful documentary. Katie, what's next for you? Is there a new documentary you're working on?
Is, yes, we're working on wolves. So we're on a relist wolves coalition. We're trying to relist them in every state. They're relisted in most states right now, except the Northern Rockies where they're being hunted. And there's less than, what they say. I don't even think there's 7,000 wolves left in the continuum in the United States. So many of them are in Alaska and of course in Canada. But in the Northern Rocky area, there's not many left, and so we really need to raise awareness and relist them in every single state, so they these cattle ranchers and hunters stop killing them and sharpshooting them from helicopters, killing pups in their dens, running them over with snowmobiles, trapping them. It's endless. I mean, it shocks me what humans can do to these beautiful animals that were put here by God to share the planet with us. We have
Yeah,
to be.
it's between the wolves, the wild horses that roam. I know people that are working so hard to save the Mustangs, to let them continue to roam the plains on their own because they're just so beautiful. When you get that documentary done, I want to see it, and you've got to come back because I've always been intrigued about wolves, their habitats, the way that they move, just to watch them move in packs and to have a
Amazing.
leader, and there's just so much there. So I cannot wait for that documentary. And ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible, in Job chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, it says, "Instead, ask the animals and they will teach you. Ask the birds and they will tell you. Or speak with the earth and it will teach you. Even the fish will relate the story to you. So what creature doesn't know that the Lord's hands made it?" The life of every living creature and the spirit in every human body, well, are in his hands. And even in Proverbs 12:10, it says, "A righteous person cares even about the life of his animals." Now, Katie Cleary shows that care and has brought to the forefront the plight of our rainforest, our jungles, the inhabitants of these areas like the orangutans, the elephants and the rhinos, and yes, even the sharks that swim in our oceans. We have a vast ecosystem, and it will run like a Swiss watch if we just leave it alone, but also protect it and nurse it in the right way, in which we will all benefit. Her film, Why on Earth, is a must-see, and it helped me to see the number of issues these creatures are facing and those who have dedicated their lives in protecting them. They need more resources to keep it all going. And we must help protect animals like these orangutans, the elephants and the rhinos, and yes, the sharks. If not, our ecosystem will become fragmented and unbalanced. It is up to all of us to do something about it, and I encourage you to watch Why on Earth, as it's available now on Apple TV Plus and Tubi and even Freevee, to name a few. Watch it. And if you can, please donate to Peace for Animals, and you can find them at peaceforanimals.net, as it's on your screen now. So Peace for Animals is a vision, is to create a world that lives in harmony with all animals, that works to protect them against harmful human interference. Thank you, Katie, for sharing your information about your amazing film today.
Thank you, and thank you, and sorry about the animals, but that's what happens when you rescue.
Hey, we're all animal lovers here, so if they want to add their voice to the interview, they are more than happy to do that.
Definitely wanted to. Thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you too, Katie, and I can't wait to see that brand new documentary about the wolves. Please come back, and we can talk about that. And ladies and gentlemen, again, Why on Earth is available on streaming right now. I encourage you to watch it. It will make you fall in love with your planet as well as every animal all over again. So thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And as for me, I'll see you next time.
I'm an animal person. I appreciate the beauty of them. I just like to see everything live.
Palm oil is cultivated by destroying rainforests, home of many orangutans. That means palm oil is actually destructive and unsustainable.
It's incredibly sad rescuing an orangutan from where it should be its home.
She's pregnant.
Is this going to affect the baby?
No. I'm chosen by orangutans to help them.
Finding poachers before they're killed. Elements were able to deploy canine units and rangers rapidly.
If you protect the ecosystem, also you are protecting your own health.
When you see a rhino that's been poached, then you decide that guy is going to hunt you down.
I mean, these are the last two female northern white rhinos in existence in the world.
Trophy hunting, some false show of masculinity that people want to go out there and act tough.
Is money really that important when it comes down to it? We have to place more value on life.
A dead elephant is one hunting fee to usually a dictator. It never gets to the people.
Clear.
We've lost a lot of funding. Because I'll put my hand up and I'll talk on behalf of all animals.
The first thing that I cut out was dairy, and I knew that these cows were enslaved.
The plant-based diet should affect positive changes for the well-being of animals and people.
And I just think it's a cool thing that pushing veganism means we save like 54 million land animals a year, everybody.
This is just the beginning of much to come with leading in this plant-based movement.
We need to understand that all species play a critical role in a thriving marine and terrestrial ecosystem.
The best thing we could do is manage the beautiful things we have. And animals fit right into that category.